Someone will recognise Charlie, though. Seems it's hard for the dead to stay dead around here.
I reckon I could help in that in respect, said Mr. Tulip.
Mr. Pin chewed his lip. He knew better than Mr. Tulip that men in their business needed a certain reputation. Things didn't get written down, but the word got about. The new firm sometimes dealt with very serious players, and they were people who took a lot of notice of the word. But Tulip did have a point. This place was getting to Mr. Pin. It jarred his sensibilities. Vampires and werewolves. Springing that sort of thing on a body, that wasn't according to the rules. That was taking liberties. Yes, there was more than one way to keep a reputation. I think we should go and explain things to our lawyer friend, he said slowly.
Right, said Mr. Tulip, and then I'll rip his head off.
That doesn't kill zombies.
Good, because then he'll be able to see where I'm going to in-shove it.
And then we'll pay another visit to that newspaper, when it's dark. To get that picture, he thought. That was a good reason. It was a reason that you could tell the world. But there was another reason. That burst of darkness had frightened Mr. Pin to his shriveled soul. A lot of memories had come pouring back all at once. Mr. Pin had made a lot of enemies, but that hadn't worried him until now because all his enemies were dead. But the dark light had fired off bits of his mind, and it had seemed to him that those enemies had not vanished from the universe, but had merely gone a long way away, from which point they were watching him. And it was a long way away only from his point of view. From their point of view, they could reach out and touch him. What he wouldn't say, even to Mr. Tulip, was this. They'd need all the money from this job because in a flash of dark, he'd seen that it was time to retire. Theology was not a field in which Mr. Pin had much knowledge. Despite accompanying Mr. Tulip to a number of the more well-designed temples and chapels, on one occasion to scrag a high priest who tried to double-cross Frank Nutboy Nabbs, but the little he had absorbed was suggesting to him that this might be the very best time to take a bit of an interest. He could send them some money, maybe, or at least return some of the stuff he'd taken. Hell, maybe he could start not eating beef on Tuesday or whatever it was you had to do. Maybe that would stop this feeling that the back of his head had just been unscrewed. He knew that would have to be later, though. Right now, the code allowed them to do one of two things. They could follow Slant's instructions to the letter, which would mean they'd maintain a reputation for efficiency. Or they could scrag Slant and maybe a few bystanders and leave, perhaps setting fire to a few things on the way out. That was also news that got around. People would understand how upset they were. But first we'll... Mr. Pin stopped, and in a strangled voice said, "Is someone standing behind me?"
"No,"
said Mr. Tulip. "I thought I heard footsteps."
"No one here but us."
"Right. Right." Mr. Pin shuddered, straightened his jacket, and then looked Mr. Tulip up and down. "Clean yourself up a bit, will you? Sheesh, you're leaking dust."
"I can handle it," said Mr. Tulip. "Keeps me sharp. Keeps me alert."
Pin sighed. Mr. Tulip had amazing faith in the contents of the next bag, whatever it was, and it was usually cat flea powder cut with dandruff. "Force isn't going to work on Slant," he said. Mr. Tulip cracked his knuckles.
"Works on everyone," he said.
"No. A man like him will have a lot of muscle to call on," said Pin. He patted his jacket. "It's time Mr. Slant said hello to my little friend." A plank thumped down onto the crusted surface of the River Ank. Shifting his weight with care and gripping the rope tightly in his teeth, Arnold sideways swung himself onto it. It sank a little in the ooze, but stayed, for want of a better word, afloat. A few feet away, the depression that had been left by the first sack landing in the river was already filling up with, for want of a better word, water. He reached the end of the plank, steadied himself and managed to lasso the remaining sack. It was moving.
"He's got it!" shouted the duck man, who was watching from under the ridge. "Heave away, everybody!"
The sack came out of the muck with a sucking sound, and Arnold pulled himself aboard as it was dragged back to the bank.